Dan Vesperman, welcome back to The Signal.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So in your new book, you explore the world of drones. What about drones piqued your interest in the first place?
Well, first off, I like to say what this book is not. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. It's not a so-called techno thriller. In fact, those kind of leave me cold because they lavish more attention on the machines than on the characters. And while drones are at the center of this, it's more about the people who operate them from remote locations and the way this job gets into their heads and plays with their own emotions, because it's a very strange job. And that's what appealed to me and got me interested in this book. Initially, I was kind of drawn to the whole idea of these suburban warriors, these pilots who used to be in fighter jets or whatever and right on the front lines of battle or above them anyway. And on deployment in foreign bases and to foreign wars. Now, all of a sudden, they're operating from the suburbs of Las Vegas, working in a trailer, you know, fighting these wars 7,000 miles away, and then driving home to their wife and kids. And that initially caught my fancy because it was this dual life they led where they were, you know, fighting by day. And even though it was no personal risk to them, they were these high-stress jobs. And then they'd go home and, you know, throw a steak on the grill or read to their kids at bedtime or whatever. But when I talked to some of these guys, and it was mostly guys, I think there have been a few female drone pilots, so to speak. But all the ones I spoke to were male, and it is a predominantly male group. And the ones I talked to, what struck me the most was even more bizarre. It was this strange hybrid of this job between very close intimacy with their subjects that they're watching and extreme remoteness, 9 time zones away. They're watching life that's literally 9 hours into the future, yet they're playing with those lives possibly and having great effect on it and watching it very closely. And then if they have to kill some of these people, they have to watch the aftermath very closely. And it just stunned me. I don't know why it had not quite hit me exactly what this would involve, but they were quite clear in telling me about the weirdness of it. And that stuck with me. And from there, it was easy for my imagination to take over and fashion a plot and a scenario from that base for a character.
Even the word drone implies a lack of human interaction. You almost think of them as flying unmanned through the sky with no person behind these actions. But everything they do, and for a fighter pilot who had such a tactile and real involvement in flying an airplane.
And a thrilling job.
Yes, exactly. A very exciting job.
The best jobs in the Air Force to fly.
So that your ultimate... The way you end up being sitting in a trailer in the desert just seems incredibly bizarre and very disjoined from the reality of what you're doing.
Yeah, it is. And as I said, it's that remoteness and the intimacy. Because even when they're in an F-16, shooting something out of the sky or firing a missile at something on the ground, they're not watching where it goes. They're too busy manning their plane. You know, they probably get a readout saying if it was a hit or not. They don't necessarily even see it. So they're sort of detached, even though they were right up there in the sky with their targets. But these drones, even though they're so unbelievably far away, and so much so that when they fire a missile, it's this delay before they can even change the course of it because of all the mileage involved. And they're so remote, yet they're so close to it in the way they're able to see it with this great eye in the sky that they have that gives them this close-up look. So that just fascinated me no end in thinking about this, and it was a huge help in building this character.
Well, and you think about a pilot of a jet having a real danger. You know, they've got to land safely and make their way home. These pilots, the danger seems to be all in their heads.
It is. Their only real dangers for these guys I talked to or in the suburbs of Vegas was their commute back into Vegas traffic. You know, they might get some drunk gambler on his way home who swerves at him or something. But it's the danger is dealing with it because there's never been a job quite like it. And the Air Force has sort of been at a loss, or at least it was then, on how to deal with this. And they've had a lot of burnout, a lot of depression. I think even though the other jobs are riskier, I think taking that risk helps alleviate the psychological burden of having to do something that might kill people. You can at least say, well, you know, it was them or me. They could have fired at me. I fired instead at that jet and I took it out of the sky and removed the threat. Instead, there's no compensating threat to their lives. So I think they feel like any time they take something, they haven't risked giving something back.
Well, and often we hear about drone strikes that are pinpoint precision.
Yeah, and
they
are. Get
the right guy.
Well,
except for
that.
The times when they go
when they get the wrong people. Yeah, it is pinpoint. The irony of all this is you do read a lot about the mistakes. But the irony is that even though the mistakes are very magnified and get a lot of press, it is very surgical. And if you have the right intelligence, you can destroy things selectively in a way you never could before because you have the luxury of all this time up in the air to watch the target. It's just when the intelligence is bad, though, you can't blame the pilots. They're hitting what they're told to hit.
But they might blame themselves, which brings us to Darwin
Cole.
Yeah,
it's inevitable. Yeah,
yeah, and he's involved in a strike that goes, I guess you would say, terribly, terribly wrong.
Yeah.
But the more he thinks about it, he seems to wonder why it went so wrong.
Yeah, and he has a pretty good inkling just before the missile hits that it's wrong because just a matter of seconds before the missile is about to hit their target, the door of the house opens. A small girl runs out, followed by two small boys, and he thinks, what are they doing there? And then there's an explosion. And he not only realizes that it's been a mistake and realizes it again later from the accounts that say 13 civilians were killed, but he sees very close who some of his victims were about to be and were his victims. So it sticks with him, those images. He just can't get out of his head.
And the more he thinks about it, the more he thinks that there must be some reason. But he stews over this, and he's kind of
He burns out and washes out, basically.
Yeah.
A year later, he's out of the Air Force, dishonorably discharged. His family's gone. He's lost that. He's become this hermit out in the desert, not that far from where he used to work, but just living in another trailer, but not quite as nice or air-conditioned as the one he'd worked in. He's out there with the coyotes and the sagebrush, basically.
He's sort of drawn out of his trailer, quite literally, by this group of journalists who are also interested in what went wrong
that
day. Yeah,
they give him the opportunity to try to get to the bottom of things, which he realizes the minute he meets them that even though he mistrusts journalists, as many people in the military do, because they see how, you know, they're promoted as heroes one minute and then brought down as, you know, terrible killers the next, and he knows how that can work. And so he mistrusts them, but he realizes this is his opportunity to use their skills in conjunction with his own contacts to try to get to the bottom of things. And so he takes that chance. And they're a bit wary of him because they come out to him wanting information but not cooperation. And so he strikes a deal with them, says, all right, I'll help you, but I want to be a part of this directly. And so it's an uneasy bargain for them as well.
And then things just start getting really crazy.
Yeah.
You know, once they're out in the world, it's one of those things where you think you know where you're going following a story, and it just goes all over the place.
Yeah. When you're out there right now trying to sort out what's going on down on the ground where these drones are looking, especially in places like Afghanistan and that part of the world, it's a chaotic place right now full of dubious players. You've got independent contractors. There's this whole array of people somewhat involved with the U.S. military, either under contract or ex-special forces working for contractors. You've got all these terms, sheep dipped. It means they've got certain clearance for intelligence, but they don't really work for the CIA. You've got intelligence people, contract people, military people, and strange blends of all three. So it's this weird landscape down there with different rules of engagement, or in some cases, no rules of engagement, some of these groups. And the CIA kind of likes it that way because they can say, well, these weren't our employees, and the military can say the same thing. And so it's plausible deniability. And so you've got this whole universe on the ground, and they're all trying to get in on the intelligence and reconnaissance possibility offered by drones. They're all trying to get that and share that same information for their own operations. So it's a weird world.
And the further you get into the story, the more you just think, wow, you know.
Yeah. And so
what
he,
next?
Yeah, and he's kind of appalled in a way by, you know, he's been piloting the best drones offered in the world and washed out of that. But then he gets out in the real world and starts to see the technology of what just anybody can fly. sort of strangely catching up to what he used to be able to do, even though the military technology has moved far on down the road.
Well, Dan, it was really fun to read. There's some scary bits in here. A little gets a little tense sometimes,
yeah,
but
yeah.
it was enjoyable. And thanks again for coming in
sure.
to talk about it.
Thanks a lot.
The Signal's Lisa Morgan talking with Dan Vesperman. Vesperman is the author of 9 novels. His latest is titled Unmanned, and he's online at danvesperman.com. You're tuned to The Signal, an original production of WYPR in Baltimore.